Hilliard Lyons is proud to become a part of Baird, a trusted financial services firm that shares our commitment to the community. I'm Jeff Main, branch manager with Hilliard Lyons. You can learn more about Baird and our new partnership at HilliardToBaird.com.
Every time I see you in a tie, it must be a formal occasion or the final Tuesday of the month, and that means it's a school board meeting. And if that's the case, on the phone with us this afternoon is the superintendent of MCCSC Schools, Dr. Judy DeMuth. Dr. DeMuth, good afternoon. How are you?
We are wonderful. Good afternoon.
Good to hear that everything is swimmingly going on so far, almost 2 weeks in. It'll be 2 weeks tomorrow as the MCCSC started back online learning 5 days a week, Canvas and all the other apps and everything else going on. What has been the feedback from parents so far on a new beginning?
Well, as you can well imagine, it's been all over the board. And our staff is working extremely hard to make sure our kids learn well. And when kids don't log on, we're sending the people after them to find out where they're at, to make sure they are logged on. But in fact, it's really a very big effort on everybody's part, including our families. So I just want to take a minute to thank our families for their understanding, because this truly does shake up the family dynamics in terms of, you know, having the children at home and having to work with them. And so we truly appreciate all of their help. But long story short, we have had, you know, technology glitches. And I was just telling Mr. Klein that, you know, we were kind of the first ones that started in all of this. And we were on the phone arguing with Microsoft, if you can imagine. And we said that to a parent, and they said, oh, come on, you need to talk to IU. They definitely have this down. That's a billion-dollar company, and you're arguing with them. And yeah, we sure were. And we saw what happened yesterday with Zoom. So there you go.
We're all in this together. That's, I guess, the good news for it. But that brings me to my second question. We've heard through the last couple, few weeks or so, that maybe by September 11th, we will have an angle on whether we will start heading back to the classroom, maybe in a hybrid fashion or an altogether fashion. Is that September 11th date still on the calendar, or have we reassessed it, and any new information there?
Okay, so we had two committees actually working feverishly, because as you know, during the summer, we had a large contingency of committee members. We put together a plan. We went to the board. At that point in time, we were working with the health department when we had a COVID situation, symptoms or a COVID situation. We worked with the health department, and we were making our decisions based in conjunction with the health department. The board then asked us to come up with a metric that people could see and try to understand. And we've been working with a large metric committee, physicians, scientists, Indiana University, all those folks, to put together something that looks like a stoplight. So we have different phases, a red phase, a yellow phase, and a green phase, so that people can see the metrics that we're using, understanding that we have to be flexible in that, because there are metrics where if there's a large social gathering and 150 people come down with COVID symptoms, then that obviously skews the data. So the board will hear about the metrics work tonight and hopefully approve the metrics that these folks have come up with. And again, I think that they'll be very pleased. And on top of that, then, the board will then hear the other committee, and that was the reentry committee. And those are the considerations on learning. And so how this would look, what this looks like. So I think we'll get a really good understanding of what the recommendation will be in terms of the learning piece. And then I'll come back with a couple things. First of all, a review of all of our safety measures, because as you can imagine, since really April, we've been working on safety measures in preparation for our staff and students to return. So I will review some of those things, because if people haven't tuned into board meetings over and over, or looked at our newsletters, or, you know, looked at our tweets, or looked at any of that, then when they log into the board meeting for the first time, then they're asking questions about, well, why aren't you talking about that, or why don't you talk about that? But it's been a very long process. So I'll go over our safety measures again, and then I'll come back with a recommendation on how we need to go ahead and either, you know, have kids stay online or in person. And although the 11th was our target, I think you'll hear a recommendation this evening that may move that up just a little bit.
What are you finding? Oh, by the way, we're speaking with the superintendent of the MCCSC, Dr. Judy DeMuth. As you ask around your colleagues in other cities, either where they've been in school or they're all virtual or they're doing a modification of both, what are you learning from other systems about? Is there one that works better than another?
You know what? It's very interesting. Everybody has the same concerns, the same frustrations. It doesn't really matter what platform they're using. They're all struggling with various pieces because the platforms for learning that we're all depending on, we're now put to the strength of those platforms are very tested right now because every student in the world almost is using one of those platforms. So we're seeing them stretch to their max. So everybody's a little frustrated with that, no matter what they're using. And the one thing that we did was to try to use platforms that were as confidential as possible for our families and our kids. And I know that's frustrating to somebody because they just go, why don't you just get on Zoom or why don't you do that? Well, you know, because we didn't feel that was the safest for our families. So we've tried to really be cautious of that as we've moved forward. We use a common sense curriculum in terms of our technology. We've received numerous awards, and Mr. Pritchett really takes great pride in that. So as we've been moving forward with technology, we've always been very clear that safety of our students and staff has been foremost. So we've been trying to use those platforms, but no matter what platform you hear people talk about using or what they're doing, it seems to be the same kind of concerns and frustrations. And quite frankly, particularly online, our working parents just have their hands full. That's a long story short. They just have their hands full, and I have to be very empathetic to that. You know, I've had children, and I understand what it means to have a job that's very demanding, and so I can't thank our parents enough for, you know, staying with us and doing the work that has to be done with their kids.
Well, I think one of the other things this time, Dr. DeMuth, is that, you know, in the old days, mom and dad had a job. They went somewhere. Now mom and dad are working from home, and there's competition for the computer. There's competition for bandwidth and all of that. It's not like it always used to be.
Well, nothing is.
Yeah, that dynamic has been very draining to our families. You know, I've had employers, large employers, say, you know, it's okay if the baby's crying, you got to go tend to the baby or whatever needs to happen, because that's kind of what's happening in the work world today. Everybody's trying to be very flexible and being very graceful in terms of how they're handling employees, but it certainly stresses the family, and we all know that. We all want to be perfectionists in our jobs. We want to do a really good job, and when it's not going the way, you know, we would envision it to go, it places a stress on all of us, and so I do feel that stress. Today I was talking with the chamber and said, you know, I feel like the community's counting on us. You know, I feel like it's to like the stage of saying, come on, people, we need some help here. We're doing the very best we can, but the pressure is just really dramatic for our family.
Let me ask you another variation of this then. Whatever you decide, whether it's virtual or whether it's face-to-face, let's say face-to-face, do you still then have to plan for people that don't want to send their kids into that environment, and you still have to do virtual in addition to face-to-face?
Yes, absolutely. We will have an online portion because we recognize that some folks will not be sending their children back to school. And so we do have an online curriculum that kids will follow. And we set up an online academy when we first began this process. And we tried to put those kids who had signed up for that with the online teacher that they would have if we would go to online. So a lot of those kids right now have the same teacher they will have if, in fact, they go online. And every school is going to do online just a little differently, so they're going to share the responsibility. But for the most part, at the elementary, a lot of our kids will have the current teacher who will be teaching online. And then at our secondary, they've worked out really great ways to service the online students in a way that they have a look at a lot of the teachers they would have had if they were in the school. So we're very excited about that because we think that's important for our kids to have that experience just as if they were here.
Now, in the equation moving forward, online learning is not going to diminish if anything, it's going to continue in some way, shape, or form. Is that something that you have to look at this year's budget for next year's budget? Are we too late in that process? I know this isn't easy. I know you don't have a magic eight ball, a crystal ball, or any other devices that can see into the future, but it just doesn't sound like online learning is going to go anywhere.
Absolutely. You know, we have to be looking for, if in fact we do bring our kids back face-to-face, we've all been told, you know, that there's going to be this wave or we'll have an outbreak or whatever. So at that point in time, kids will be back online and they'll do what we're calling intermittent learning. So they'll still be online. But the future, I think, for us has changed in terms of having those online experiences. I think that a lot of our teachers and our staff members have grown from it in terms of using the research opportunities that are available. So I think we're going to see more use of the technology in the classroom, never replacing that, but really expanding the walls of the classroom, so to speak. You know, that's one thing we've always said in the use of technology. We want kids to use technology to create. But the bottom line is it expands those walls of the classroom to give kids information and knowledge that they wouldn't necessarily have from a textbook or one teacher. Those walls are all broken down. So I'm excited about the opportunities that our teachers will be able to provide for our kids, because a lot of the teachers have not used a lot of technology. And I think this has forced that. So, you know, I look at my grandkids, and I mean, at 2 years old, they're stumbling through, and they're not afraid to do anything. So they're stumbling through finding, you know, Dave and Ava or foreign language programs.
Yeah, it doesn't bother them a bit.
I'm sitting there fascinated thinking, my gosh, what are our educators going to have to look like? Because these little peanuts got it. I mean, they're just on it. So I think that, again, this in trying to put a very difficult experience in a positive light, I think, you know, we all grow from major changes. And I think, you know, in trying to think positively, this gave a lot of our educators and a lot of our staff members really great skills to help our kids as we get those kids, because they're ready for that kind of endeavor, those kind of endeavors.
Will this help those at the state level in the funding question, now that you show all the extra things you have to do on top of all the extra things you usually do, whether it's technology, adding teachers, wall-less classrooms, or classrooms that have walls in them because we want to keep everybody safe? How do we pay for all this, Dr. DeMuth?
Well, you know, quite honestly, we've spent a lot of money out of our own budget. We did receive the CARES grant. We used that for a lot of technology and also for wireless technology for our families that didn't have it. A lot of our chemicals and all of our PPE and all of those things, as you can well imagine, for cleaning came out of that CARES grant. But the long tell and short of it is, right now, if we do not have our children 51% of the time in the classroom, their tuition support, and let's just say we use, you know, $6,000 per child, will be decreased by 15% because we're teaching them online. So the legislature does believe that they will, unless that changes through the legislature, right now we know if we don't have kids 51% in the classroom, our money will be decreased by 15%. And the other thing that we do know, quite frankly, is that we have lost kids because when you think about everything that happened here at the beginning of the school year, some parents, you know, wanted their kids in a place where they were, you know, in person right away. Some parents decided that, you know, they would go to a proven entity, which is, you know, one of the virtual education programs in the state. So we have lost some kids to those programs. And my hope is that in the near future that they will come back and will be able to service their children.
We're speaking with Dr. Judy DeMuth, the superintendent of the MCCSC. And as you were talking, Dr. DeMuth, I'm sitting here saying, but damn, those things were written before anyone even knew what virtual education was. And before you wanted people gathering places, and now you're going to penalize the schools for giving them an education without bringing them and putting them at risk. This just doesn't make any sense.
No, but it is the reality. And you've heard the governor, the state superintendent say that we wouldn't be penalized at 15%.
Right.
But quite frankly, that reared its ugly head a few weeks ago. And we found out that it doesn't need to be changed legislatively. And as I understand it, there's really no appetite to make that change.
A couple of queens, I know you're on short on time, but what happens with whatever changes you now might make? What happens with the meal program?
So right now, we're doing our very best to move meals out into the community, even though we are online, and we do have sites set up at Arlington, Fairview, Grandview, Highland Park, Summit, Templeton, Bloomington High School South. And then we have bus distribution locations at the Limestone Apartments, Classic Lanes, Heatherwood Mobile Park, Oakdale Square Apartments, Winslow Plaza, Kingston Manor Apartments, and Tulip Tree. And so anybody can go there and get a meal, and they'll track it back to their number, their code. If they're free reduced, then they'll have that, or they can pay. So we're really fortunate that we're able to provide those services. And then one other aspect to all of this COVID is that this afternoon we had a press conference, and I'm really proud to say that we have partnered with a lot of great organizations, including the City of Bloomington, the Greater Bloomington Chamber of Commerce, Indiana University, Ivy Tech, Richland Beanblossom, and the Monroe County Health Department on the Take the Hoosier Safe 6 pledge. So there's 6 items that if people do, we can stop the spread, and we'll be promoting that just as other community members will be.
And how is the agreement that you have between the Boys and Girls Club and the MCCSC? How's that working out?
I can't say enough about Jeff Baldwin and the Boys and Girls Club. You know, when this happened, we knew that a lot of our children would be home at home alone, and we knew that, you know, a lot of parents had responsibilities, and so they jumped in and put pods together, and so they are using the Boys and Girls Clubs to service our kids online. The kids come there, and they can spend the day there, and they're supervised. They are using a couple of our schools, and so I really want to thank them for all the help that they've been to us and also our community.
Yeah, one of the other things you wanted to mention was you have a girl that's, all right, give me, she's singing from the lake?
Yes. So we have really a phenomenal violinist who actually spends time going to various lakes, and she was up in Michigan at various lakes playing her violin.
Okay.
And so she goes out in a little rowboat and plays the violin for people on the lakes, and she's an all-star. Her name is Kaora Marikawa, and the mayor proclaimed a Kaora Marikawa Day on the 20th of August. And she is an AP scholar, a National Honor Society wow. member at Bloomington High School South, and she's an accomplished violinist. And this young woman has gotten notoriety from various news channels, articles in the Oakland Press, the Tribune, the Troy Times, all over the country for going out and just doing a wonderful thing by playing music for a lot of people who really helps them relax as they live through the COVID situation.
Well, outstanding. We need some good news every now and again when we have to go through all the tough parts, it seems like, in it. Tonight, meeting time is?
We will be ready to go at 6 o'clock. So we will be in the collab, and people can stream it because we are socially distancing, so we can't have a lot of people in person, but they're welcome to tune in.
Outstanding. Well, we always appreciate your time, Dr. DeMuth, and best of luck with the meeting tonight. And we'll keep our ears open for any of the new developments and changes moving forward. And be safe, take care, and we'll talk to you next time around.
You too. Thanks for the opportunity. Bye now.